I don't care how good you are at baseball. If you're a good person, I want to be around you. The best people that I know are stick around in my life, and I want to be around those guys. So maybe you're a good ball player, but who cares? You're a young man before that. You're a student before that. You got to go about life the right way.
Welcome to episode 272 of Alberta Dugout Stories, the podcast. I'm Joe McFarland. The picture is starting to get a little clearer on who is ending up where in the minors when it comes to Alberta's baseball talent. Dogs Academy and Okotoks Dogs alum Tristan Peters is with Tampa Bay's AAA affiliate, the Durham Bulls. AHP Academy product and coach Eric Sabrowski is also going to AAA in the Cleveland Guardians system, that team being the Columbus Clippers. And Vauxhall Academy grad Damiano Palmigiani has already started his season with Toronto's AAA affiliate, the Buffalo Bisons. Among some of the other notable players set to start their minor league season soon, Alejo Lopez is in AAA Gwinnett with the Atlanta Braves. On the AA side of things, Justin King, Adam Macko, and Matt Lloyd are all starting there. Oyens' Gavin Logan is set to begin the season in High A Hillsboro in Arizona system, and a couple of single A players as well with Matt Kootenay and Matt Wilkinson with the Angels and Guardians respectively. Stay tuned to our website as we hope to publish a full rundown of all the connections and where they are in the coming days. On the college baseball front, congratulations to Brendan Luther on being named the NSAA Player of the Week. He hit 750 with four extra base hits, including two home runs for Bellevue University. He's now on a 14-game hitting streak and will be looking to keep that offensive stride going when he joins the Okotoks Dogs this summer. Congratulations as well to former Brooks Bombers slugger and friend of the show, Eric Ratajczak. He's been named the MAAC Player of the Week after hitting 571 with three home runs and six RBI in a three-game set for Niagara University. And yet another milestone for Calgary's Cohen Aiken as he is now the Lindsay Wilson College career strikeout leader. Despite dropping a 6-1 decision to Cumberland's over the weekend, Aiken racked up 12 strikeouts in just six innings of work, becoming the program's all-time leader with 313 strikeouts. A couple of recent commitment announcements to pass your way. AHP Academy grad Reese Hemmerling will be continuing his baseball journey after this season at Barton Community College. He'll be heading to the University of South Carolina upstate. And Dogs Academy infielder Sawyer Feck is starting his collegiate journey with Cochise College in Douglas, Arizona. And one final note, we're wishing nothing but a speedy recovery to Dogs Academy and Okotoks Dogs slugger Nash Crowell as he battles back from an awful injury. He was hit in the face with a fastball during a game with Reinhardt University over the weekend. His photos on social have gone viral, and it certainly isn't for the faint of heart. Here's hoping he's back on the diamond soon. Now on to this week's guests, and we will start in the CCBC, where opening weekend went off without a hitch. Out of the gate, the Edmonton Collegiate Hawks are at the top of the standings after a four-game sweep of Victoria Collegiate, thanks in large part to the pitching staff, including Halen Knoll, Riley Barrett, and Matthew Ridsdale. Prairie Baseball Academy in Lethbridge earned a four-game split with Thompson Rivers University, as those two teams are considered two of the top teams in the league heading into the spring. Owen Lucas hit 615 over the weekend, while Braden DeWitt had a great outing in one of the wins. And the University of Calgary Dinos are 1-3 after a rough weekend against the University of Fraser Valley. In their lone win, last week's guest Ethan Webster was fantastic, pitching a complete game four-hitter in a 12-1 win. We'll be aiming to get a guest or two from the CCBC each week here on the pod, and this week we're actually heading west to visit with a Calgarian on the Okanagan College roster. Ryan Doucette went 9-for-15 over four games, picking up a double, four RBI, and four stolen bases. The Dogs Academy alum was also a pivotal piece of the Medicine Hat Mavericks roster last year, helping the team get all the way to the league championship. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
The CCBC season is underway, opening weekends in the books. How did it feel to get back out in the field?
It was awesome. I mean, we had a couple preseason weekends against Calgary and Victoria, but it's nice to have some meaningful games eventually.
Nothing like starting the season by jumping head first into a top team matchup. Assess that weekend split for us.
We, started off really well on Saturday, winning two, and Sunday we kind of just ran out of steam and unfortunately dropped both, but we got Edmonton next weekend, and they're coming off a sweep of Victoria. So it'll be a tough weekend, but we're excited for it, and we think we can do very well.
On a personal level, you hit 600, four RBI. How are you feeling about your personal performance?
Pretty good. I mean, I don't know what happened. Just got up there and started swinging. I going into the game, I wanted to have a more aggressive approach going into the season. Last year, I got a lot of walks, but not as many hits as I wanted. So this year, going to be a free swinger and, you know, do my part to get on base for my team.
Talk about that mindset shift. Obviously, being a veteran presence now and having that first year out of the way, what went into your thought process and trying to maybe turn the table and become more aggressive in the box?
Yeah, in 2022, I was hitting second, so that's more of a free swinger's position, I feel like. And I had a really good season, hit like 360 or something. And going into 23, I moved up to the leadoff spot. And I don't know what changed. It was more, maybe more of a passive approach, trying to work counts, be more of a stereotypical leadoff guy. And I can't say it worked terribly. I mean, I worked my walks, but this year I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm a hitter. I'm going to start swinging, try and hit some gaps. That's where I think I fit best in this lineup is swinging the bat.
Obviously, there's a hitting component, and then there's a fielding component, and then finally, there's that leadership aspect as well. Like I said, you're not new to the game, but you've got a few rookies on the squad. What are you telling them about what to expect here at this level, but also sort of the, I'll call it the culture aspect of playing at OC?
Yeah, I think we're an aggressive team. We're going to run the bases really hard. We're going to steal a lot, and these freshmen just got to realize that mistakes are going to happen. You're going to get thrown out. You're going to get picked off. You're going to boot a ball. Who cares? Just play the game that you love, and who cares what the coaches say, to be honest? I mean, they're going to put you out there no matter what. I mean, maybe they'll give you a hard time about booting a ball, but they're going to let you go back out there and make mistakes, and eventually you'll figure it out and gain some confidence and start playing well for us.
As mentioned, you had a few preseason games as well to get things rolling, and then you had this past weekend. Give us a bit of a scouting report on the team from your standpoint. What are you seeing out of it? What do you think the potential is?
Well, I think we got some outstanding starters. That's where we're going to live. I mean, it's how we've lived the last couple of years is our starters got to go deep. And that's how we won the first two games on Saturday was our starters went deep and pitched very well. And right now we're just a little banged up on the pitching staff side. So we just got to get healthy. And we got to rely on a couple freshmen. We got probably three or four freshmen that'll be a big part of our lineup and probably three or four freshmen that'll be huge pieces out of the bullpen. So, yeah, that's pretty much what we got. We just got to, you know, get back to what's going right for us.
One of the things I learned in talking to different guys at the Alberta teams was everybody seemed to have a different theme for the year. PBA, for example, is saying they need to come back after a disappointing season. And UC's obviously they're looking to repeat for the first time in team history. From an OC perspective, take us into the locker room a little bit. What is the theme? What are you guys feeling heading into this year is going to be the galvanizing moment for you?
Well, we feel we're a little pissed off about how last season ended. We feel like we did not perform to our capabilities last year. I mean, we finished out in, I think, the quarterfinals, which is not even close where we want to make it. So, yeah, we're angry, and we feel like we have the best squad in the league. So, and we feel that the rest of the league knows that too. I mean, we were the number one team projected going into the year, and we got a target on our back, and we wouldn't have it any other way. We want to be the best and, show up and prove everyone right.
Did last year also prove to be a bit of a learning moment for everybody around the league? Like, hey, you can do all of the things during the regular season, but when it comes to that final weekend in Lethbridge, anything and everything will and probably can happen. Talk us through building up to that moment versus riding the wave until the playoffs and then maybe taking a foot off the gas a bit.
Yeah, I mean, last year we lost game two against Victoria, and really it was because we couldn't play the game the right way. I mean, they bunted the ball a lot, and we couldn't defend it. So we knew exactly why we lost it, because we couldn't take care of the baseball. And I think that's going to be a major focus of this year's, really hounding on taking care of the baseball and playing to our strengths, which is pitching, defense, and run the bases really hard, and then we're going to hit as well.
You segued really well into my next question, which was what needs to happen differently heading into that May long weekend for OC? What kinds of things are you expecting out of that squad to make sure that you win that final game of the season?
Yeah, I mean, the way the conference works, everyone makes the playoffs, so who cares if you split first weekend? We got to get hot at the right time. That's the only way to win it. And the last two champions, I mean, when we won it in 22, we didn't lose any games in the playoffs. We went 4-0. Calgary goes 4-0. I mean, to win that tournament, you gotta be perfect almost. And easiest way to win the tournament is to win all your games. And don't take the hard route going through the loser's bracket. So, yeah, that's pretty much how our goal is, to get hot at the right time and play our best baseball by end of May.
From a personal perspective, do you have any goals or expectations of yourself, whether it be stats-wise or otherwise?
Well, in the offseason, you always want to think about, hey, maybe I could win MVP. Maybe I want to be first team, second team. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. I just want to help my team win and get another ring. That's my goal, at least.
Mm-hmm. Pretty solid goal there. Ryan, let's go back in your baseball past a little bit. A product of Calgary. How'd you get into the game in the first place?
Well, my dad was a big baseball fan. He got me into Little League when I was really little. And even when I was younger, I was hitting balloons when I was like 2 years old. He would throw me up a balloon and I would hit it with a bat or a club or whatever I had. So, yeah, he got me into Little League really young. And then, when I was, I think, 14, I went to the Dogs Academy and played 5 years there. So that was pretty cool.
It's funny, you might be the only person other than myself who's mentioned the fact of playing baseball with balloons. I didn't think anybody else did that, so I'm glad that there's somebody else out there in the world. When you were growing up, did you have a favorite ball team or player growing up?
Yeah, I'm a big Red Sox fan, and growing up, and I guess back then it was Pedroia. Dust Pedroia is my favorite player of all time.
I love the guys who are scrappy and just make everything work at the right times. So that's a pretty good one. When did it turn for you? When did it become more than just this fun game that you play on weekends and that, hey, maybe I can do this at a higher level and maybe even go after a college career in it?
Probably when I was around 13, I was like, wow, I really, really love this game. And tried to just do as much as I could. Like, there are all these... in Calgary, there are some winter league programs that I always asked my parents if I could play for. And they never let me because it was hockey season and they wanted me to play multiple sports. But when I was around, I think, 15 was when hockey started to wind down. I just played whenever I could and more strictly on baseball, which I'm very happy with. And by the time, 15, like once I made it to the Dogs, and that's kind of a college prep sort of program, I really wanted to play college baseball and just play kind of as long as I could.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Dogs Academy and what that program's meant to you, not just from the baseball side of things, but from the personal side as well.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, some of my best friends I'll ever have are from that program. It's some of the coaches I still have contact with, and I still love all those guys. And they've done so much good for me, way more than just baseball. I think they made me into the man I am today. And I got nothing but respect to the Dogs.
How cool is it to not just be a part of that program, but I know you coached there as well. So to be able to give back to that program and back to that community in that kind of way.
Yeah, it was really awesome. A lot of fun. I mean, when I was in the academy, there was always the college players that come back, and those guys were always the cool guys. And I want to be like those guys. And my parents always told me that if you have the chance to go back and coach, you should definitely take it, because it was an outstanding experience and really fun to, you know, different side of the game. Being a coach is way different than being a player. That's something I really enjoyed when I was part of it.
When you look back on that experience, what did you take away from it that maybe you were able to work into your playing part of the game?
Well, I tried to think of when I was coaching, what would I want to hear as if I'm not doing that well, if I'm in a slump or something, what would I want to hear from a coach? So when I would just kind of think about that. If I'm in a slump right now, I'll just think of, what do I want to say to myself? And that kind of helps me with confidence and all that kind of stuff.
Looking back on your young career to this point, do you have any favorite memories or moments where you went, man, I can't believe I get to do this?
Well, probably winning the conference 2022 is probably my best baseball memory. That was the most fun I've ever had. That whole 2022 year was probably the most fun I'll have in my entire life. But hey, hopefully 2024 will be pretty similar, huh?
Absolutely. What was it about that team in 2022 that really stands out to you? Like, this is what set us apart from everybody else.
Well, I think we're just super, super talented. But more than that, just a really great group of guys that love being around each other. Like, we would hang out as a team all the time throughout the week. And just hanging out with a bunch of great guys on the bus. And yeah, just great humans to be around.
Conversely, there's obviously the other side of the game, which is the failures and the hurdles and the things that you got to overcome. When you look back on the young career, what stands out as maybe that biggest hurdle or that biggest thing that you did have to overcome?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be coming back and winning the conference here, because I was very upset right after we lost last year. So I'm hoping that's going to be the biggest hurdle that we overcome.
Mm-hmm. A couple more for you before we let you go. A couple of fun ones, actually. When you go to the ballpark and you're a fan of the game, what's your go-to food?
Oh, probably a hot dog. I'm a hot dog guy.
What's the toppings?
Just mustard. Just mustard.
Just plain Jane mustard and that's it? Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty lame.
I wouldn't say lame. It's just, everybody's got a different taste, but just kind of throws you for a loop. You could throw sauerkraut or whatever. You got the choice is yours, and that's all good. Yeah.
Chili dogs, too. Chili dogs are also really good.
That is very true. Very true. When it comes to on the field, you get your choice of walk-up song. What's your song?
Mine's been Get Down On It by Kool and the Gang since I was in grade 10. So it'll be, my 10th year using that walk-up song.
Very cool. And finally, when it comes to who's your hero? Who's the person that you look up to the most?
Oh, it's got to be my dad. I mean, yeah. He's been outstanding. He's been a great, great father, and he's been super supportive, and he just puts me, he's put me in a great position to succeed in life. And yeah, I want to be like him.
That's fantastic stuff. Speaking of being like him, a lot of youngsters are probably listening in or lean on you for advice, whether you're at Dogs or whether you're back in at OC. And you got those kids who are saying, hey, what do you got, a piece of advice or some words of wisdom? What is that one piece that you'd like them to take away from what you've experienced?
Well, I mean, maybe you're a baseball player, but more than that, you're a human. You're a young man. And some of my favorite teammates, I don't care how good you are at baseball. If you're a good person, I want to be around you. That's like the best people that I know. Or stick around in my life, and I want to be around those guys. So maybe you're a good ball player, but who cares? You're a young man before that, and you're a student before that, and you got to go about life the right way.
And the final question that we always ask everyone here on the show, what does the game of baseball mean to you?
Well, it's everything. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do in a couple months when it's over, but it's been the greatest time of my life, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's been an absolute blast.
It's been an absolute blast getting to hear a little bit about your journey, Ryan. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on all the success you've had at this point, continued success at OC and beyond. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
No problem. Thank you.
Next up, we have AHP Academy grad Cole Huebner. The Indian Hills Community College freshman is fresh off a fantastic stretch of games where he was named the Iowa Community College Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Week and the National Junior College Athletic Association Pitcher of the Week. In 2 5-inning outings, Huebner struck out 18 batters in total while allowing just one run on 8 hits. He's now 4-1 with a 2.67 ERA in 6 starts. Cole, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
What a run you've been on recently, those two great starts in particular. Let's start there. What was working for you during those two outings?
I was kind of just able to locate my two pitches, fastball and slider. Kind of just trying to, you know, work the other half of the zone, establish the fastball early, and then, kind of get the slider in when I needed to, and just kind of work ahead all game. That was kind of the main keys I was trying to focus on.
Were you surprised at all at how well those outings kept rolling for you? Like, I mean, it's one thing to do it once, but to do it two in a row like you did, it's got to be feeling good after that.
Yeah, it was definitely a nice couple of weeks there. I'm not sure about surprise, but I was just really trying to stick with my routine and stay consistent with my preparation in the week. Just make sure I felt good on game day and try and just be the same pitcher, every single week. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of what worked for me there.
Looking back on it, you were named a couple of different pitchers of the week, both from a divisional standpoint as well as from the national level. What did it mean to get that kind of recognition?
It was a fun honor for sure. It was, I had some old teammates kind of reach out to me and, say some congratulations. So That was fun, kind of getting to reconnect with those guys, and it was a bit of a surprise, but it was definitely a good individual accomplishment.
I know a lot of players are their own biggest critics, and so I've got to ask: through this point of the season, how would you grade your performance?
I think statistically it's been good, but there's definitely some kind of things I need to improve upon. I think I need to get my slider in the zone more, and I've been working on kind of getting my changeup, just having it be a more useful pitch, something I can throw with two strikes. So in terms of, you know, kind of my stuff and my game plan and approach, I'd say I'd give myself a B.
It's a solid grade for a freshman. Talk a little bit about that and the adjustments that you've had to make to the college life and getting used to a higher level of ball down there.
Well, obviously I took a gap year last year, so I'm a little bit older of a freshman, so that's definitely helped. And then I'd say, you know, playing in Sylvan Lake last summer helped me kind of get up to speed. But yeah, even then, just, you know, living away from home is a bit of an adjustment. So it took some getting used to in terms of that. And then kind of just, every day, I don't like using the word grind, but, just kind of the repeated process of having to show up every day and, put in a fair amount of hours. So that's been a bit of an adjustment, but I'd say, it's been a pretty good process getting used to college.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the pitching aspect of things, because I'm always curious. You leave Alberta and you go down south, or you go to any collegiate level of ball, and you're kind of expanding your repertoire a little bit. You mentioned that you've got your two pitches that you kind of lean on. Talk about the development of some of the other pitches that you're working on and some of the coaching and tactics that you're able to tap into at Indian Hills.
Yeah, so kind of like I mentioned before, working on my changeup with my head coach and pitching coach right now. Getting that more consistent feel out of the hand with that. And then another big thing we've been working on is tunneling the slider with the fastball. So starting it at the same spot so out of the hand it looks as similar as possible to my fastball. So I'd say those are kind of the two biggest things we've been working on the last little while.
Heading into the season, did you have any goals or expectations of yourself?
I wasn't really sure what my role was going to be going into the season. So my main goal was just solidify myself as one of our weekend starters. And then help the team as much as I could and rack up a decent amount of innings. Those were kind of my main priorities.
Well, you're certainly doing your part, and it's a big part in a strong Indian Hills team to this point. What's been key to the team's success so far?
Yeah, we've kind of been just playing our game as much as possible. Our infield defense has been really, really solid to start the year. And pitching from the pitching staff, just trying to throw as many strikes as possible and just be competitive in the zone. Those have kind of been, I'd say, the main factors in our success so far.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed when I was going through the roster is how international the makeup of it is. You've got players from Dominican, you got New Zealand, Australia, Venezuela, Sweden, Japan. I mean, this is about as international a roster as I've ever seen at the collegiate level. Talk about how cool or interesting it is to be able to be a part of that and see different cultures come face to face.
Yeah, that's definitely something we talk about quite a bit. You know, the other day, our starting lineup, I think, only had two Americans in it. I believe it's, five or six different languages are spoken on our team. It's really cool to hear from people from other countries. You know, my roommate is actually from Japan, so kind of learned a lot about their culture and, some of the things they do, in baseball and just in regular everyday life. It's a really cool experience, actually. I quite enjoy it, actually.
So how much Japanese have you been able to figure out language-wise, or any other language for that matter?
I was kind of joking with my mom the other day about this. She asked if I'd picked up any Spanish. I said, unfortunately, kind of just the swear words. my Spanish and Japanese is still a little bit lacking, but it's been kind of fun being exposed to some different languages for sure.
It's still early on in the college career. You got time to pick up on some of that for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So looking ahead now, you've still got another month or so left in the season. What's key to keep enrolling, not just from a personal perspective, but also from the team perspective?
I'll start with the team perspective. We've had some kind of talks as a team about areas we need to improve. One of them is kind of just having a team offensive approach. So I think our position players have started to buy into that. We've seen some success there. And then kind of from an individual standpoint, really kind of just, maintaining the processes and routines, and then kind of trying to implement some of the stuff I've been working on the last couple weeks into the game. I think that'll help carry me the last month of the season here.
Mm-hmm. Some good stuff there. Let's go into your baseball past a little bit and talk about what got you into the game in the first place. Is there someone who's been integral to that, or was it something that you just stumbled upon, I suppose?
I think one of my earliest baseball memories was the the Edmonton Capitals, I believe. I forget what level they were. They were a minor league team in Edmonton. I remember going to one of their games and, really being drawn to the game then. And then, my dad and I just started playing in the yard. And, pretty soon I was signed up for minor baseball and kind of played ever since, to be honest.
When you were growing up, were you an all-sport athlete or were you all baseball all the time?
No, definitely an all-sport athlete. I played, fairly high-level hockey until I was 12. And then in high school, I kind of got into volleyball and, played some school sports as well, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of track. Hockey, baseball, and volleyball were kind of my big three sports.
Do you remember the moment where it kind of clicked for you on the baseball side, where you went, this is more than just a game that I can play and have fun at, but maybe I can chase this thing?
Honestly, I was always kind of had that vision in my mind. Obviously, I think every kid dreams of playing in the MLB one day. I'd say I was definitely in that boat. I had pretty lofty goals, from the very beginning, I'd say.
Did you have a favorite player or team growing up?
Kind of a Blue Jays guy, of course. I liked Jose Bautista, famous bat flip days. Josh Donaldson, just kind of that whole 2015 Blue Jays team I was a pretty big fan of.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about AHP, and I know that they're always singing the praises of the work that you're doing at Indian Hills, but talk about their influence on you both as a ball player and also as a human being.
Honestly, I can't really say enough about them. I'll start with the gym aspect of it. I came in a lot lighter than I was now, a lot weaker, and a lot less, mobile. So, that aspect they really cleaned up and made some big strides there. And then, the mental aspect, Taylor specifically, he's taught me a lot about, how to approach, training and, the game itself properly. So, honestly, can't really say enough about them. They do a fantastic job.
Take us into the mind or a training session with Taylor, because I've likened him in the past to being the mad scientist. Like he's all about the science piece, but he's got some ideas. He's got some things. And he's not afraid of letting you know about it, is he?
No, definitely not. He's very detail oriented to start. When he's kind of running the gym there, it's everyone's doing stuff properly. Form is pretty perfect. On the baseball field, he has pretty high standards as well. He just always makes sure you're on top of your stuff and runs a pretty tight ship there.
Mm-hmm. Looking back on the young career to this point, I'm curious, do you have any favorite memories or moments on the in the park where you're just like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this?
I have a few. I'd say winning the Western Canada Summer Games back in, 2019, that was definitely a fun one. And then, this summer, actually, I didn't pitch a whole lot this summer, but playing for the Sylvan Lake Gulls, I got in at the end of one of our playoff games against Okotoks. It was a bit of a blowout, but it was still a lot of fun pitching in front of that many people. That was a really great memory.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, baseball seems to be a game of failure, as they say. And so I'm curious, what's been the biggest obstacle or hurdle that you've had to overcome?
I would definitely say my arm health. It's been, prior to this year, it'd been nagging for quite a while. And, honestly, it was a really big frustration. But I think I was finally overcoming it now. It's been, a massive relief, honestly, to just be able to, throw without pain. But it definitely took a while to get over that, physically and mentally.
look into the crystal ball a little bit for me here. And what do you see as being the next step? Do you already have a four-year school in mind? Do you have an ideal school, quote-unquote, or something that you'd like to pursue heading out of Indian Hills at the end of the second year?
Yeah, I mean, I always like to stay present. I'm not really, too worried about the recruiting aspect, or at least I won't be until, this summer and next fall. But, yeah, there's definitely some schools, down south that, I'd be very happy to go to. I think that, if I keep doing my stuff, I'll have a chance to go there, so.
Very cool. A couple of fun ones for you. When you head to the ballpark as a fan, what is your go-to food?
Go-to food. I don't know. I try and eat pretty clean, but I can't really go wrong with a hot dog, to be honest.
What's on top of the hot dog?
Usually I'll go with the caramelized onions and, just some mustard and relish. Keep it pretty simple.
It's a solid choice. Let's say you get to have the closer's role and you get that crazy walk up like the Edwin Diaz's of the world or the Jordan Romano's. What is your walk-in song?
Oh, man, I haven't thought about this in a while. The last hitting walk-up song I had was, I think it was All Falls Down by Kanye West. So I guess I'll have to go with that one. I'd have to give it some more thought, I think.
For sure. Not a bad one, though. Not a bad one at all. A couple more before we let you go, Cole. Are there a couple of standard ones for the athletes we ask when you get the chance to come back home and talk to those academy kids who are just starting out on their journey and they're looking to you and going, hey, I want to follow in his footsteps. What's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom that you like to impart upon them?
I'd say, this is something I've kind of learned a lot, this year. Is just the importance of, sticking with the routine and, just being able to, write stuff down and, plan out your week. It's invaluable to, know what you're doing each and every day and know exactly what you're trying to work on and the areas that you're trying to grow.
Mm-hmm. Great stuff. And the final one we ask everybody, what does the game of baseball mean to you?
It means everything to me, honestly. I played this game for a super long time. For me, I just, I always want to, with my baseball career, I just want to, do something that I'll be proud of, for the rest of my life. I can look back on and, say, I was able to do that. I achieved that. And, so that's kind of what I always, that's kind of the big picture thing I always like to keep in my head.
Love it. Well, Cole, congrats on all the success you've had to this point. Continued success going forward at Indian Hills and beyond. And thanks so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
Our final guest this week is one of the many with Alberta Connections who will be heading to Baseball Canada's junior national team for extended spring training camp. Those listed as Albertans include William Labonte, Seamus Ryan, Michael Yusupchuk, Nathan Flewelling, Simon Baker, and Eric Hartman. A few others like Leo Cote and Tim Piazzantine train here. We've chatted with a few of them in recent months, so we thought we'd bring you a brand new voice to the show. And this week, it just so happens to be Piazzantine, who I've been pronouncing his name wrong this whole time, so I apologized first. He's also thought of as being one of the best Canadians eligible for the 2025 MLB Draft. Tim, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, congratulations first off on being named the junior national team extended spring training roster. How does it feel?
It feels great. It's been a goal of mine for a really long time to play on Team Canada, and this will be my second trip with them. It feels great to wear Canada across my chest and play for my country.
What went through your mind when you got that call or that email this time around?
This time around, it was more of like relief that I'm still there. But the first time I got the call for the Dominican trip, I was just like super excited because honestly, I didn't really fully expect to make it. Like I knew I had a chance, but I was just super excited the first time.
Let's talk about that first time and the experience as a whole. What was it like from your standpoint and what did you take away from it?
I think it was a great learning opportunity for me playing with Team Canada because those guys I was playing with and playing against were much better than most of the guys I play with and against. And it was really cool to see how good they are in the Dominican Republic, how they've got like most of their arms are throwing 90 plus. It's just really impressive and really cool to see.
From a personal standpoint, does it allow you to take that moment to go, okay, I can play with some of the big names here?
I think it does, because when I got there, I realized, like, wow, this is what 95 looks like. And if I can hit this now, it's going to be the same as when I move up and play against big name guys. And as far as like the guys in Canada, I mean, they're really good. But I feel like I'm right up there with them.
How much of these kinds of experiences do you take away as being playing, and how much of it is being that sponge and learning from the expertise around you, whether it's your fellow players or coaching staffs or that kind of thing?
I feel like, especially on the Dominican trip, I was just mostly trying to learn as much as I could. The coaches have so much experience, and I was just trying to learn as much as I could from everyone.
Mm-hmm. Looking ahead now, you've had that experience of the first time wearing that maple leaf. What do you take away from that experience to put towards this time around?
Now that I've done it once, I think this time, I mean, I just have to, I can play more loose, be more relaxed than I was in the Dominican, because like I've been there before.
When you look at that roster, who excites you? Who makes you go, that dude's a player, and I look forward to playing with him?
I don't know that I can pick one guy. Like, they're all those guys on that team, they're really good at baseball, and they all bring something special to the table. Yeah, I don't think I could pick one.
It's been kind of cool to watch all of you develop too, right? Like, there's a lot of guys who've been able to do a bunch of different things all together, whether it's Canadian Future Showcase or whether it's the Dominican trip or now the Florida trip. Like, there's kind of a camaraderie there, as much as, you know, it's not just, you know, the Alberta guys or the BC guys. It's very much a Canadian roster that has kind of grown together to a certain extent, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I first met most of the guys on the team at the Canadian Futures Showcase. And I mean, like, you can just tell by like the way that they hold themselves, like, especially like the guys that I haven't played against, like, they're just good, you know? Mm-hmm. They carry themselves in a way that they're confident in like their skills, and that they know that they're like Team Canada level players.
Do you have any expectations or goals of yourself heading into Florida?
Really, I just hope to do my best and to not let like my results get to my head, because they might not be good, because I mean, I'm playing like professional baseball players that like get paid for this. So if they're not good, I gotta not let it get to me. And then even if they are good, I gotta stay level-headed.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of buzz surrounding your name right now. I know, for example, Canadian Baseball Network puts out its list of top draft eligible players, and for 2025, you're right in the talk of right in the midst of things. I think you're number two as it stands right now, heading into 25. Plus all the other things that you've accomplished to this point. How have you taken in all that noise?
Really, I try not to focus on like that sort of stuff, because really, as a 2025, it's not my draft year yet. There's a lot that can change. So I just keep doing the best I can do.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you? Like, let's say in the next year or so, what kinds of things do you need to work on yourself to get yourself to that point where you are legit the number two Canadian on that list, or the number one even?
I think it's, for me, mostly I just need to, like, get stronger, get faster, like work on my fielding, work on my hitting, just like every part of my game. I feel like I can get better in the following year. So it's just going to be like the amount of work I put in to get there.
Well, you've certainly put in a little bit of work to get to the point you're at now. So let's dive into that a little bit in your journey to where we're at now. And it starts in Coquitlam, BC. So who got you into the game in the first place?
Honestly, it was when I was really young, so it was probably my dad who got me into, like, T-ball when I was really young. And then I just, like, fell in love with the game. I played through Little League, and I was lucky enough to make it to the Little League World Series for, like, on Team Canada with Coquitlam Little League, which was, like, a great experience. And that just made me love the game more. And then I played with the Coquitlam Reds, and then I made the move out here.
Very cool. So when you were growing up, was it a multi-sport aspect that you took away, or were you all baseball all the time?
When I was younger, I played baseball and soccer, because soccer is pretty big in BC. But I never enjoyed soccer as much as I did baseball.
Did you grow up idolizing a team or a specific MLB player?
Not really. I mean, my favorite team is the Houston Astros, but, so when I was growing up, they weren't that good when I was like really young, and yep. Then they got good and then they like cheated. But, I don't know. I wouldn't say I was like idolizing one specific player or anything.
Understood. So from a personal standpoint, when did it turn for you? When did it go from, hey, this is a fun game that I really enjoy playing, to, hey, maybe I've got a future in this thing and maybe I can chase it at a higher level?
I would say after the Little League World Series was really when I realized like I could actually like be really good at this if I put in the work, because I got to play against players from around the world and see like they're not that much better than me, so I can get there.
Talk us through that Little League World Series experience, because those of us who have not been able to take part look at it from the outside and go, it seems like a spectacle, especially for a kid who's 11 or 12 years old. What was it living in that moment and being in Williamsport?
It was crazy. I can't say I remember it all that well, because it was like all kinds of a blur, because it was just so exciting all the time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it was just like playing for Team Canada then meant like everything to me, because like that's the dream when you're playing Little League, to get to the Little League World Series. So the fact that Coquitlam Little League, we accomplished that, it was just crazy.
Then you end up making the move out to Alberta, as you mentioned, and you start up at Dogs Academy. Obviously, you're still there, but I'm curious, as you're living in the moment here and now, what has that program meant to you, and in not only your development as a ball player, but also as a human being?
Well, it means a lot. It's this move out to Alberta has probably taught me more than anything else I've done in my life, just like because living away from home and like learning. And like all the actual practices we do and the weightlifting, it's just taught me like so much about the work you really have to put in to get to the next level. So it's taught me so much.
Mm-hmm. Always curious when athletes make that move, especially at a young age. I mean, you're still a teenager. Was there a bit of trepidation around the idea of moving out here, or what kind of put your mind at ease that, hey, this is going to be a good decision for you and your baseball journey?
I mean, before I moved here, I was like very on the fence for a while about coming out here, and I decided to, because like it is the next best step for me to get to where I want to be in baseball. If I stayed back home, like I would still probably play college baseball. I could still be a good player, but I think coming out here would really separate me from the rest of the players, of the high school baseball players. So, really just came down to, what did I want more? Did I want to, play high level baseball, or just like, I don't know, just have fun?
Well, one thing that you've been able to do too is, in that short amount of time, you've been on some pretty impressive academy teams with Dogs. Take us inside that locker room. What's it like being on that team that's full of dudes who have really accomplished some pretty cool things in a really short amount of time?
It's great to have teammates like that, because we all push each other so much to get better. There's no like room for skipping practice or like skipping out on lifts or anything. Like we just push each other so much, and I feel it makes each and every one of us like so much better.
Looking ahead a little bit now, not only do you have the junior national team to look forward to, but obviously a future at the University of Miami, is that's where you're committed. What was it that drew you to that school particularly?
For my college recruitment, it started with me getting invited to the PBR Futures Games in Atlanta. So I went there, did a showcase tournament. We played a few games. And then I got a lot of college exposure from there. And then, I mean, UMiami saw me there and decided to give me an offer, and I committed there.
Very cool. What excites you the most about heading down there?
I got to say, like, the school just seems great. And playing in a conference as good as the ACC is just, I mean, it's just like a dream come true. That I get to compete against those level baseball players. Like some of the guys I'm going to play against are definitely future big leaguers, future all-stars, like really good conference, and the school seems great.
Have you thought about that distant future at all? Like whether it's getting drafted, playing pro, going to the major leagues, that kind of thing. Do you have an idea as to what's next for you, or what you've got kind of goals in mind level wise as say 10 years down the road? Have you ever thought that far down the road kind of thing?
I mean, I try not to focus on stuff that far down the road, but my end goal would be to get to the MLB. Like that's like what I want to do. I try to focus on what I can do now to help me get there versus like just imagining me there in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So with that mindset, what do you think needs to happen? What kinds of things are you working on the day to day to make sure that you're getting closer and closer to that end goal?
Really it's just like the physical aspect, like just getting stronger, getting faster, like moving better, hitting the ball better. And then probably the more important aspect is like the mental part of the game, which is why I feel like this Florida trip is going to help a lot, because I have to learn to deal with failure, like a lot of failure, and that it's going to happen. I have to learn to deal with it so that I can stay level-headed and like stay in the games when I'm not playing as good as I feel I should be.
Mm-hmm. A couple of fun ones before we get to the last few questions here. On the fun side of things, when you head to the ballpark and you're getting to just be a fan, what's that go-to food that you hit up at the vendors?
Food? I mean, I'm not a big hot dog guy, but I mean, at a baseball game, I'll have a hot dog. But if they have like pizza or something, I do like a pepperoni pizza.
When it comes to your walk-up tune, do you have a preference?
I like rap or like hard rap music for a walk-up song. I couldn't tell you a song right now. I'd have to go look, but yeah.
Understood. You know the tunes, but you don't necessarily know artists and names. So
yeah,
gotcha. And finally, who's your hero? Who's the one person you look up to the most?
Honestly, probably like my dad, because he's accomplished a lot in his life. A very different like field than I am trying to accomplish stuff, because he's a lawyer. But I mean, he's accomplished a lot in his life, and he works very hard at what he does, and he inspires me to put in the work every day.
Very cool. Okay, a couple of final ones. These are the ones, standard ones for our athletes. First off, you get to go to Dogs Academy and you see those young kids who are just starting out on their journey. You're heading back to Coquitlam and you're visiting with those kids out there, and they look up to you and they want to get to where you're at now and even be further. What's that one piece of advice or those words of wisdom that you can impart on them from what you've learned of the journey so far?
I would say that the most important thing is just to put in more work than the competition, than what everyone else is doing. Just do a little bit more than them, and it'll make a huge difference in your development as an athlete.
It's a great piece of advice. And the final question we ask everyone, what does the game of baseball mean to you?
The game of baseball to me is just, it's a place for me to, it's like a gift that I've been given by God that I'm good at. And it's a way for me to, I don't know how to say it, like put in work in a positive way, and it gives me a goal to work towards.
Again, Tim, really appreciate the time. Congratulations on the nod for the junior national team and all the success you've had at this point. Continued success going forward in every path you take. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks again to Ryan Doucette, Cole Huebner, and Tim Piazantin for joining us this week. And thanks to all of you for downloading and listening. If you haven't already, leave us a rating and review on your app, as those actions help spread the word about ADS. We are coming off a banner march and would love to keep that trend going heading into the summer. We'd also like to tip our caps to our platinum supporters, the Okotoks Dogs, for all they do for us and for baseball in Alberta. We couldn't do what we do without their generosity. To learn more about what sponsorships entail, head to albertadugoutstories.com/supporters. Until next time, thank you for all of your support online, on social, and on air of Alberta Dugout Stories.